Om Shanti, and warm welcome to our next session, which is Making Everything Worthwhile. And we are very lucky to have Sister Kala here with us. She has been with Baba 45 years, so very, very experienced yogi, and she is a director of Peace Village Retreat Center in New York. And she has been a resident there since it opened in 1999. So soon you are celebrating 30 years. Few more years to go. So big celebration is coming. And she has a medical background as a doctor. But then Baba grabbed her, because Baba was needing a spiritual doctor. And she's very angelic. She's very subtle and gentle. And even though I don't know her very well, but there is the feeling of connection, and somehow she's very easy to approach. So warm welcome, Sister Kala, over to you.
Om Shanti, and Om Shanti to all of you too, and thank you, Ella, for that warm welcome and introduction. And I know, I can tell, that everyone here has been having a lovely, lovely season, not just with the classes, but with every activity, either personal, collective, on your own. And there has been a lot of I would say effort, but very loveful effort put into the program. And I must say that all of you are the ones who have made it very, very worthwhile for them. Yes? So I'm sure the team is extremely happy and feels rewarded for that. So this evening's topic, making everything worthwhile. And I think the inspiration comes from what we hear from Baba always about when you make everything worthwhile, what happens? There is success, right? And the Hindi words that Baba uses, I think, makes you remember this, you know, slogan very well. And the Hindi word for making things worthwhile that Baba uses is safal, safal. Part of that word is safal. Fal actually means fruit. And safal is something that bears fruit, obviously, right? So when you make everything safal, or, you know, bear fruit, that's what is your success. And of course it gets translated, and it's accurately translated also, that it is when we make things worthwhile, or use things in a worthwhile way, or we make things worthwhile, that you can actually begin to see success for yourself. And it's a very intriguing statement, isn't it? Actually, it's a statement, or it's a principle that applies even otherwise. You know, when you make everything worthwhile, when you use everything in a worthwhile way, obviously you get the result of it. You know, so it's always connecting the resources that we have to the result that we get, how much we are able to use the resources in the right way. And that's what produces results. And here, of course, Baba is talking about success, which also, it could be interpreted as something that is seen externally, but for most part, it is a success that we feel as effort-making souls, right? We feel that we have attained success. There is a feeling of accomplishment there then. So It can be, of course, taken in a very microscopic level or in a lokic level, where, you know, people do apply this principle in their life, you know, let's invest something somewhere that it will bring us reward, it will bring us in, we can relax and retire in the old ages, right? It's that kind of philosophy. That if when you have something, you are able to use it or invest it in the right way, it multiplies for you when you really need it. Yes, that principle. Of course, Baba doesn't use it in that way, right? He doesn't just limit us to using things in the worthwhile way in that limited sense or the physical sense. But Baba comes to us with a very, very grand concept of what our resources are, you know, what the use of those resources could be and what the result of that, those resources could be, right? The very, very grand picture of the time that we are going through at this time, which is the most auspicious confluence age. And Baba describes or, you know, gives to us the breakdown of what happens at the confluence age. That how is it that everything, but everything changes, is transferred, is completely, you know, new after the confluence age, you know, after it goes through the process of the confluence age, everything of this world, of course, starting with us as souls, everything changes, right? And we're all here having embraced that big grand concept of the confluence age, right? This is what is beautiful about all of us, that we have recognized on one hand the calendar time, 2025, 26, 27, whatever, whatever. But on the other hand, we have also recognized and acknowledged the other calendar time of the confluence age, which is, of course, cannot be really counted as years and days, but it's counted in terms of our consciousness years. You know, how much we grow in our consciousness during this period of time of the confluence age, that is, of course, different from all of us. Of course, Baba tells us the complete, you know, length of the time, but all of us come at different times and can still make up for the lost time, he says. Mm-hmm. How? Through working on our consciousness. So some of the things I was thinking that, you know, what is really Baba's offer to us or appeal to us, so to speak, especially in the context of our using things in a worthwhile way or making things worthwhile, so to speak. And the word worth, you know, comes in the word worthwhile, right? So everything depends on the worth that we give to something before we can make it worthwhile. Don't you think so? So if we don't acknowledge or experience or, you know, understand the worth of something, you obviously cannot use it in that worthwhile way. If it's a very nice piece of equipment, very expensive, lying in front of you, and, you know, and people are kind of raving about it and whatever, whatever. But if you don't know how to use it and if you don't know what it is, it's useless for you. You cannot really use it, right? So the worth of something is actually something that we give to it, or, you know, whatever that equipment or physical thing or even otherwise could be. So what is it that Baba does for us in terms of allowing us to reassess the value and the worth that we have been giving to everything in this world? And of course, it starts with our own identity, who we think we are, who I am, and the importance that I start giving to myself, so to speak, to this bodily being. And of course, it has many characteristics, and I put a lot of I invest a lot of myself, people invest a lot of, you know, worth, money, whatever, time, in bringing this person alive, you know, and bringing up this person. So it's the identity. of body, right? And most of our value or worth has been connected to either the body itself or things that are connected with the body. And based on that, we have been using, spending, investing, you know, and making it worthwhile, so to speak. But now Baba is kind of asking us to revisit that whole idea of value and worth. What is it that it's really worth? It. In other words, worth of something, value of something, usually you would say it's very connected to how lasts, right? So no matter how long, you know, somebody may live, but it's still temporary. It's still perishable. And so Baba comes to give us this big picture of who you are really, imperishable. The minute being that you are. So by identifying ourselves with the soul that we are, I think he kind of puts us right side up, as he says sometimes. You have been at everything, the value of everything, worth of everything, like hanging down as an owl. And obviously when the owl hangs upside down, everything is upside down. And now he comes to put us the right side up. And so we really begin to see the value and the worth of things as they should be. And what does it mean for us? I think most of us will agree that, you know, since we've come to this life, Brahmin life, understand knowledge, understand the principles of spirituality, I think our emphasis now is more on quality than quantity. Did you agree? Everything before was about big size, everything was about how much, how many years I have studied, what titles I have gained, all of those things that I have accumulated, most of it has to do with quantity of information, quantity of skills, but never assessing the quality of that skill. What is it useful for? And now Baba says, now it's the quality that really is going to make you sustainable. It's not the quantity that's going to make it sustainable. So all of a sudden our value system changes. Our worth of everything changes. And even though we may not completely get it, when Baba says, what I give you lasts for half kalpa, but we believe it somehow. Right? That it lasts more than ever. Anything else can really last. We may not completely understand the half a kalpa or the 2,500 years or whatever, but we definitely know that that's more valuable than what I have been really giving value to. So the first thing is that he says, pay attention to the quality of your life, quality of your actions, quality of your thoughts, quality of your words. It's not supposed to be the best in, you know, whatever subject you are. But there are a lot of more qualities that you have to add to it. I can tell you from my own example, from my medical background, for example, right? I mean, there are a lot of years went by studying, graduating, you know, certifying, and of course being qualified for many things. But there are many things that are not covered in those universities, colleges, books, whatever. And the simplest of things, for example, of, you know, how do you break the news? I'm just giving you an example. How do you break the news, for example, has just a few days more to live, right? It's not something that is taught, you know, quantity-wise. But it's the of your communication, is the quality of vibrational relationship that you create with someone. So these are all things that are qualitative, right? And Baba doesn't, you know, Baba puts importance to the qualitative, and that's why I think that becomes predominantly important for us now. And that's what is, because that's what sticks with the soul. That's what we take with us forever and ever, right? We don't, you know, take with utterances that are just basically physical. Oh yes, somebody you know, gave me a very good medicine, somebody made me better. It's good, but how did they make me feel? Is something that I instantly remember, and I remember and value. That makes the whole value system very different for us, right? So it's now for us to work on that level. The same thing with you know, the power of consciousness, Baba says. Your actions are important, but your actions can only take you that far. The power of your consciousness is such that, you know, it can actually make impossible things possible. Even when you say or think that something is difficult or impossible, but if you really understand it, put your mind to it, you know, have faith in the method that you're going to use, or faith in how Baba is teaching you to do it, you can make it happen. So it's in this way that we grow differently in our consciousness. Why I'm saying this is, you know, in this whole subject of making things fruitful for us, what is important is the quality of the seeds that we sow at this time, isn't it? It's only the seeds that will tell of the fruit. If we don't work on the seeds, then of course it's not going to be fruitful. So it's based on our consciousness of who I am, who you are, what something means, you know, what our actions are meant to do. So these kind of things, when we begin to understand, we grow in our consciousness, which Baba calls as the study of soul consciousness. From very limited things, we become very unlimited. And it's based on this that we are creating the future, which is unlimited, you know, which is making things worthwhile. So I was just feeling that Baba's way of even describing what is worthwhile is so unlimited, right? We would have never imagined that worthwhile means thousands of years to come. Worthwhile means something stays with you forever. Worthwhile means that you get such beautiful feelings of, you know, being cared for or being loved or being, you know, respected or whatever. So these are all spiritual experiences, and this is what our training system is all about, right? So consciousness. So what else does Baba appeal to us, and what is his offer to us? I think he also tells us about how when we are not acting in the right consciousness, when we are not acting out of soul consciousness, how the ills of body consciousness has really swallowed us, swallowed up the worth of who we truly are. He introduces us to the vices. Yes? Just as he introduces us to himself, the one who is full of all virtues, he also introduces us to the vices that have been dictating to us and that have been kind of making us do everything along the way. And what does he say? You know, they have reduced your value, they have reduced your worth. And we can actually understand and realize that many times after coming to Baba, that how, you know, most of what we did, or much of what we did, I should say, was not really based on our true value system from inside, but it was based on something that I was attached to, something that I was desirous of, something that, you know, I was about, or, you know, there was always the influence of vices. So Baba introduces us to the big ones, the big body consciousness. And then, of course, the children. And then he also says there are grandchildren, all kinds of royal vices that we encounter at this time. And so it's these royal vices that also we have to be very, very careful when we want to actually put all our resources in the right basket, right? So I'm just thinking of how Baba comes with such a strong appeal in terms of knowledge, even though it may seem like very simple knowledge, but it's a very, very strong, you know, I should say, you know, sometimes he does plead with us, actually, right? He would say, you know, just for this one birth, can you not observe purity? No, that's an appeal, that's a pleading, right? Now, he doesn't have to go on his knees to do that, but yet he would do that even for us, you know, knowing that we have become so ignorant and so oblivious to our own ignorance, so to speak. So he has to lay it down very, very clearly and very simply and very humbly, so to speak. So his humble appeal to us at this time is to really look at things, you know, in an honest way, in a soul-conscious way, and then realize your own worth and act on that. It's not about someone else. It's not about something else. It's not even about the whole new world, but it's about your whole new self, that how you can really renovate yourself, renew yourself, if you really were to give yourself more worth for who you truly are. So the other thing that Baba says is, you know, the big part of the knowledge, the puzzle that he opens to us is this about what time we are going through and what is the need of this time. And of course, when Baba started the yajna, it was just the beginning of the trace of sorrow, peacelessness, chaos, conflict, everything. But now we can see very, very clearly, you know, that that's what is rampant in the world. And what the world needs today, what people in the world need today, is not the riches and the, you know, the bountifulness, but it's the peace of mind. It's the little happiness in this big forest of thorns, little fragrance of virtues, a little consolation, a little hope. These are the things that people are looking for. And so Baba appeals to us in sense that what will really be most worthwhile is if you can be that for yourself, and if you can also be that for someone else, and if you can also be that for a few more people, if you can also be that for the whole world, right? So this is his appeal, that, you know, he's already started this mission, but if you can be a part of this mission, then you're actually, you know, even though it may seem like you're just a tiny little part of it, but you are a big shareholder in this whole activity or project that God has come and taken up to bring peace and happiness in the world. So it's a very, very beautiful way that Baba comes to his children as the father, as the teacher, as the guide. And, you know, and he says, most importantly, how do you do it? You know, how can you? As a single-handed person, you cannot do much. But as a collective, we can do a lot, you know. And this is where the whole way in which Baba has established the yajna comes in. That he knew that, you know, there are many people in the world, many institutions in the world, many causes in the world, that people have strived very hard, you know, to make things right. But usually what falls apart because of is because of personal ego, personal vices, personal desires, personal conflict, all of those things. And Baba has come to teach us to, very much according to what we are all working on in this month of unity and trust, especially, for example, right? So he's teaching us the basic lessons of what the yajna really means. When Brahma Baba was chosen as the instrument by Shiv Baba, he couldn't have done it alone, right? So what did he do? He naturally attracted the souls that belong to the origin of the yajna, the souls that would understand these principles, the souls that would be, even though the knowledge may not have been clear at that time, but it was the Vat Baba stood for that people were drawn to. It was the truthfulness, it was the simplicity, it was the purity of the whole movement that attracted. So he created this whole yajna, and this is another very, very fascinating concept in terms of, you know, what it means to make things worthwhile. As I was saying, you know, one of the things that I always used to walk around and, you know, look at many institutions, many organizations doing good work, Very good work, very good cause. But after a few years, you'll say, where are you? How are you? And they're nowhere around. They've lost steam. They've disappeared, they've dissolved, or they have created splits, and there are two instead of one, right? And so the one mission that they stood for is not good anymore. So it was always a big mystery to me, you know, who do you stand for? Who do you support? You know, who do you want to really, you know, be the sponsor for, even in an ordinary way, if you want to give to somebody? How do you know that they have the right intention? So this was always the landmark that you stopped at. But with Baba, you know, it's like nameless, formless. It's a yajna, right? It stands on the support of one Shiv Baba. He's the one who's running this whole thing. He's the one who's teaching us. He's the one who's actually the middleman, so to speak, to transfer whatever we want to transfer to the new world, right? Sometimes he says, I'm the agent, or I'm the innocent one. I don't have anything to do with what you give. But it just passes on from here to the other. So I was seeing that how the yajna is a big, big, very, very, it's almost like an automatic machinery, right? That operates on its own, only based on the principle of purity of intention, right? What runs it is the purity of intention. Everything about it is about purity. You give it without a name, it goes without a name, but of course the Shiv Baba's name, and it goes to the right cause, to the right person, to the right, you know, people, and somehow or the other it comes back to you, you know, multiplied many times over. So it's a beautiful spiritual machinery that I think many people believe in, you know, as just in a limited way as a principle of karma. But when God Himself enters the picture, it becomes a huge, unlimited, beautiful machinery of, you know, very selfless giving and receiving from Him. So it's the yajna, it's a collective. We don't have to, worry about who it's going to or what it's going to or whatever. But He says, everything that you think is worthwhile, even now, you transfer it so that it comes back to you multiplied many times. And that's how the whole world begins to change around you. So this system of the yajna is also very, very attractive. And we see when we come to Madhuban how it operates in such a beautiful way. From where little, you know, Baba, I think it was today he even talked about how, you know, it has to do with the physical structure, the physical expansion, all of that. But for what purpose? Only to serve my children. Only to serve children who want to progress spiritually. And for what purpose? So that their resources can also be used in a worthwhile way. So it's a huge, and Baba, as I said, is right in the middle, you know, as the middle man. Innocent person, but also very clever. He doesn't keep anything for himself. He also doesn't give anything extra to anyone. So it's a very, very accurate way of how everything is managed automatically, but in a spiritual way. And that's how I feel about, you know, why should we even think of making everything worthwhile? And what are those resources that we have? And Baba, of course, many times lists those resources for us, right? What are those resources? He says, you have a body. You're not the body, but you have a body. You can use that body the way you want. And when you have this knowledge, then the body becomes even more valuable, right? And many times he will say, you have to be bodiless. You have to practice being bodiless. But the other side of the coin is that this same body is the one that is helping you to stay and remember and experience your connection with Baba. So it becomes even more valuable, isn't it? So he says, take care of it, pay full attention to, you know, what it needs, but don't misuse it. Don't overuse it, don't underuse it, but also don't misuse it. In other words, think before how you treat your body. Think before how you use your body. Think before how you even think about your body, right? So he gives us many beautiful tips along the way how to make the body worthwhile. And I know that in a limited sense, you know, before, of course, you know, we used to think I'm X number of years old and, you know, I can only do so much. And the limitation was always in the consciousness, always in our thinking. But as soon as you release that way of thinking, limited way of thinking, you're able to release a lot of energy also that becomes available for you. So you've seen it and I've seen it, many of us must have seen it, how sometimes, for example, when we're feeling down and we're not, you know, feeling up to it, something, and I'm feeling a little dejected, and of course I'll start getting aches and pains and tired and this and that. Feeling happy about something, how does it change? How does it reverse? All of a sudden I said, oh, I can do that. I can do a little bit of that. So everything goes back to here, right? So it's very important that we don't allow the conditions of the body to condition the mind, right? And we actually have to take charge, or we have to be the authority. And through our consciousness and connection with Baba, maintain that consciousness of equanimity and appropriately use the body in one hand. So the body is a big, big part of the resource. And you will find so many, you know, especially here in Madhuban, so many people old, you know, and Baba makes reference to them. How they come in there with their little sticks and how they come with their little, you know, walkers, and still they're able to make it. And whereas many people in that condition would have stayed home and said, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. And so many people, so many, especially mothers I'm watching now, no? And they don't limit themselves, you know, to, I can only do so much, I can only do so much. Definitely, of course, we have to care for them. But how they can unleash that physical energy also in terms of how to support Baba's work, their own families, their own sustenance, all of those things. The big other part of our resources is our wealth. And again, Baba says, you know, and you know that, you know, many of these things are so uniquely different from for each one of us. Nobody comes with a standard and set, you know, standard of, you know, a healthy body or a healthy, you know, family system or a healthy, wealthy, you know, background or whatever. But we all have our own unique circumstances and situations that we have to deal with. And sure enough, it is because of our karmic situations, or it was because of the sanskars that we have created over time. But Baba always tells us, and I think it was yesterday that the Charlie mentioned something very beautiful, that when you remember Baba, you know, the sanskars that are activated are your golden aged sanskar, your original sanskars. Whereas when you remember bodily beings, then what you're activating is your body conscious sanskars. Right? So those come into the picture. Negativity comes into the picture. Hopelessness comes into the picture. You know, and so as much as we remember Baba, you know, everything is infused by Baba's remembrance for us, even in terms of the body. As much as we remember Baba, the body gets its pure energy to heal, to last longer, to work better. All of those things come from that remembrance energy. And then as I was saying, with wealth also, Baba gives very, very good example of how it's not millions that he's looking for, but what is he looking for? It's the few pennies, the few, you know, bits and pieces that you come and bring, but from your heart, with honesty, that you give to Baba, that is going to actually multiply for you. So what does Baba put value to? Not the quantity, but the quality of the wealth that you bring to him, the resources that you bring to him. If you're giving a lot, quantity-wise, but quality-wise, in your mind, you're thinking, but am I doing the right thing? I should have given there, they should use it like this. What's going to happen to the worth of what you're giving? It's going to reduce it, right? So going back to again, it's not, you know, the physical part of what we are doing, but it's the spiritual underpinnings of how we are doing it. It's what consciousness we are investing our wealth or giving to Baba or even doing our physical contribution of karma yoga or whatever. But what is our mind occupied in? You know, is it connected to Baba? Is it going to him? Or am I connecting to somebody as a human being, you know, who I'm trying to please? Many, many things come in, right? So what am I, how am I really making my full investment worthwhile is what we have to look at, right? And as I was saying before, it's the few pennies plus few pennies plus few pennies that's actually going to bring palaces. You know, of course, it's a very, very beautiful example that we have in the scriptures about how Krishna, you know, the story of Krishna and Sudama, right? He brought a handful of rice packed in a little, you know, piece of cloth. And he was a childhood friend. Krishna was a childhood friend. And he went to see him and he said, I don't have anything to give you. Or, you know, he didn't think he had anything to give him, but his wife told him, no, at least take a handful of rice, right? And that was the handful of rice out of friendship, out of love, out of sweet memories that he exchanged with Krishna. And what happened was his huts, small little huts, were changed into palaces. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. So this is the same thing that's happening now. That he's not looking to exchange big things, but he's really looking for your heart. He's looking for your bhavna. He's looking for the dedication. He's looking for the faith with which you come to Baba and the love with which you come to Baba that's going to make it really worthwhile. The other thing, I think, of course, for, as I said, you know, many of, you know, for different people, it's different ways or avenues in which we think that we can contribute or give and, you know, multiply our fortune. And for some, it's their connections, it's their relationships. As soon as one person comes from the family, they are able to influence many others around them, you know, and, you know, for some of us, that may not be possible. We may think, oh, I can't talk to this one. I don't know if this one will follow. I don't know if that one will follow. And for many people, one person in the family and their parents and their children and their offsprings and their aunts and their uncles and cousins, everybody comes together, right? They're able to bring many, many souls, you know, to Baba just because of their transformation, just because of what they have, you know, experience from Baba, they're able to honestly reflect that, you know, to others. Or it could be because they are in a good position and therefore they are able to serve many souls from the position that they are in. Or they may have a good talent, you know, and that may be very useful in Baba's service sometimes. And so they're able to use little bit at a time, never even knowing that, you know, something like this could actually help in God's work. But very innocently, you know, they come to Baba and somebody tells them, can you do this? Can you do that? And so there are so many, many ways in which we can make our life worthwhile. We can make our time worthwhile, which is another big, big element, right? Baba talks about the wealth of time, the treasure of time. And I think this is a question that always comes up, you know, for many people. Baba always says, you know, you have to accumulate over a long period of time. You have to make effort over a long period of time. And we will say, but Baba, we just came. You know, we didn't come before a long period of time. So what about us? Huh? What about us? And what will Baba say? That's okay. You cannot go back in time. Baba cannot go back in time. And everything is accurate. The time that you came is accurate. But from the time that you come to Him, from the time that you realize, you know, who you are, from the time that you realize who Baba is and what He is doing, what are you doing with the time? You know, the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, you know, all of those things count. Whether it is for your own self-effort you're talking about, or whether it is for serving others that you're talking about, but using everything in a worthwhile way actually means that you're very, very meticulous about your time. And this is, I think, something that's always mentioned as Mama's quality. You know, Mama had a very short effort-making life compared to, of course, Brahma Baba and many others in the Yajna. But within those few years, how did she go so fast? How did she attain the status of world mother? We always ask this question, and they always tell us, because Mama, from the time she came to Baba and had the faith, she was so careful and meticulous about every little second that she used, every thought she used, every penny she used. Not only she used, but she was able to bring so many into knowledge just because of that careful value system that she created for herself. And so she did not waste one single moment or thought or penny or anything of that nature. And again, you know, it goes back to really giving that value and worth to every moment of the confluence age. And I think also Baba said it even recently about Brahma Baba. The secret of how he, you know, was able to embrace Sri Baba's knowledge and go so fast, it's because he immediately started using everything in a worthwhile way, right? And so for us too, I think that's the call and that's the inspiration. And of course, everything then boils down to thoughts, our mind. How do we use our thoughts? Because it is our time and our thoughts and our breath together that create the fortune for us. And for thoughts, of course, Baba says, knowledge is knowledge. But if you keep knowledge aside in the books, in the diaries, and you go on your old way of thinking, you're not really using your mind in a worthwhile way. You're not using your powers in a worthwhile way. You're not using your virtues in a worthwhile way. So the treasures of the mind are most important, even to translate all the other resources. You really have to ultimately go through the treasure of the mind, right? So this is why Baba gives us a lot of homework and drills and, you know, things that we can actually train the mind to focus and to concentrate and to maximize the use of, you know, the knowledge and the powers and everything. So this is basically how Baba has laid it out for us. And of course, we come to Him and we say, Baba, but how can we do it? You know, we've come so late, or we have this situation, or we have that situation, or we have that. But Baba says, you know, it's not that you have to do everything all at once, but one step at a time. One step at a time, one step at a time. The secret, of course, back to soul consciousness. The secret, of course, back to my connection with Baba and the purpose and who really Baba is. You know, many times it's not just about remembering Baba like we used to remember Him before, but really remembering Him with that absolute recognition of who He is and what He's doing. And that's what gives us the power to translate our resources also to you know, what we need to multiply it into. So I think it's a, you know, on the one hand, it may seem like a very, very simple idea, a simple equation. And yet, on the other hand, when you start living it, you know, transferring everything of here to everything of there, I think there are so many, I wouldn't say difficulties or challenges, but it's just so meticulously being aware of what this life is all about for us when we come to Him. And so we, like Sister said, you know, there are many situations that we are all in. There, some of them are family situations, some of them are like our body, physical situations, some of them have to do with our relationships, but no matter what, the last thing that I would say that we have to really make it into worthwhile is our life's experiences. No matter what the experiences that we have gone through in the past or what we are going through now in the present time, we have to make even that into something that's worthwhile. In other words, something that we have learned from, something that we have grown from, something that we really appreciate and don't have negative thoughts about. This is where the real challenge comes from. Even as you're going through your learning process, you of course go through many experiences that you would rather have not had, right? You would rather that it didn't happen like that. You would rather that, you know, I didn't speak that way, or you would rather that this person didn't treat me like this. But in the moment, how do we make even that worthwhile? In other words, we don't go back to it with a negative attitude, but we go back to it in a detached way, look at it, and immediately go to Baba, and we receive that power to actually change it for the next time. So it's like, you know, we have to constantly keep moving ahead. And this is what I think when they say Mama used everything in a worthwhile way, she never went back and repented for anything like that. She would always look back and say, yes, you know, next time this way, next time that way. And when she shared with others, it was the same thing. Never looking down on someone because you did it this way. But always giving hopes, you know, giving the hope to yourself, giving hope to others, giving hope to the world. I think this is what the world needs most at this time. And this is where we should really invest ourselves full time. It's a 24/7 job. But it's a very, very enjoyable, you know, when you start doing it, you know, you really feel that nothing has gone to waste. Nothing is negative. Nothing is, you know, happened for no reason. It all happened for a reason, that you had to go through it. You had to look at it honestly. You had to come closer to the truth. You had to come closer to your own complete self, pure self. So always having that mindset that makes things worthwhile, right? It's not only using it in a worthwhile way, but whatever has happened, but how can I use it to make progress, to make feel better, and to share those feelings with others, right? So I thought there was a time for questions or something, right? Anybody have any comments or questions?
Om Shanti. Could you give us an example, you know, a living example of from your own experience and your richness of living experiences to really encourage us? Thank you.
I think, as I was saying, you know, I had to make a big decision in my life when I came to Baba. I didn't make a decision, actually. It was a natural thing. But it was about my professional life where I was working and, you know, as a doctor. And obviously, it's a very elevated profession. And And you do get to help many people in many ways, and satisfaction also to a certain extent. But the realization after coming to knowledge was that it's all important. It's important work that, you know, has to be done. And yet at the same time, you know, people have to be led in a different direction too, you know, in terms of spiritually we have to take responsibility for our health and for our, you know, well-being and all of that. And that is many times forgotten in the whole system of, you know, regular, you know, health care. So I always was drawn to doing spiritual service, you know, right from the beginning. But then it wasn't as quick as, you know, come on, one, two, three, you know, do it like this kind of thing. But you went through a process where you had to kind of qualify for it too. So it's not that it's overnight you can change your job and say, you know, I can do just spiritual service. But you kind of, you know, think about it, you build the consciousness around it, you become firmly founded in it, your practice has to be strong also. Your faith has to be strong. Your intention has to be strong. All of that also. So it took a while for me to do that. And the other thing is that when you are in a system like that, you have made your connections. You have kind of, you know, you have your contacts, your friends. So you just don't want to leave everything come. So in whatever little way you can, you just start sharing, you know, it's like, it's not one or the other kind of thing. But it's a gradual process of, you know, introducing the spiritual consciousness in everything that you do. So when you're talking to someone, when you're treating your patients, you kind of inject that spiritual consciousness to yourself before talking, for example. And you see a lot of improvement because people don't need a lot, you know, they just need a little bit of a hopeful, you know, approach, for example. They just need a little bit of a, you know, a smile and a cheerful approach, perhaps. So start serving in some little way, you know, some little dent that you can make in terms of, you know, it doesn't have to be a big thing, in other words. It's just a small little changes that you make in your consciousness that will take you step by step to closer to how Baba can really use your full potential, you know, both physical as well as spiritual. And then in terms of, so many instances where I think it's not so much about what you do, you know, physically how much you're able to accomplish. You know, there's a lot of, I was giving this example the other day that many times in Peace Village, I can see that, you know, there is a lot to be done, a lot to be done, for example. But you can't do a lot, you know. But I think you can do, you can at least be with someone who is doing a lot, right, for example. So you add to that pure energy of that person, enthusiasm of the person, the happiness of the person. So it's in every way, you know, don't be boggled by how much, you know, there is to do or to accomplish in Baba's work. But really, it's about your little droplets of pure elevated consciousness that you can add to anything that you can contribute or anyone else is contributing for that matter. So because, and people actually make a point of it, that, you know, it makes a lot of difference. If there is one companion that, you know, that just is moving around with me, you know, and just making talk with me light, in that light atmosphere. So it's not always about what you can see physically, but it's about elevating your awareness little by little by little so that you can contribute to this huge, humongous transformation that Baba is doing at the end of the road. None of us can take credit for it, really. But we can all drop by drop, you know, participate in it and make our fortune based on that. So if you can really begin to see the sense behind what Baba is doing, I think it makes it very easy to say yes to anything. But when we look at it just on a superficial level and say, oh, this has to be done, whatever, then it becomes like, you know, I can't do that much. But I think there's so much depth in what Baba is asking us to do. He just wants a big pool of positive energy, pure energy, around the world, you know, from his children. In whatever way you can do it, you know, whether it's through pure food, whether it is through pure wealth, whether it is through pure karma, whether it is just through pure touch even, you know, just some people have this habit of, you know, just touch this, no? You know, it will become pure. So it's not about, you know, believing in this kind of thing, but anything that you can do with a pure intention, pure consciousness, is very, very helpful in Baba's work. And that's what is making, for me, that's what it means to make things worthwhile, to always think positive, always think pure, always have good wishes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Om Shanti. Sister, as you said, that allowing myself to reassess my value, and you also said that Baba has come and put me on the right side up, so which is the soul consciousness. You have said much, but there is still some clarity I need is what would be worthwhile to be a Brahmin? Is that a role that I play, or to be a point of light and be in the feel the companionship of Baba all the time?
To be a Brahmin includes that, no?
So Brahmin is a role, or that's my being?
Brahmin is our identity at the present time, at the confluence age, when we have recognized that we are souls and Baba has come to purify the soul and he is directing me in that right direction and I'm living my life according to that. So that includes many things, being a Brahmin. It includes being a point, it includes connection with Baba, it includes everything.
Om Shanti. Bhavat Sri Sabar, when you want to transform your sanskars, you need to have a disinterest and a renunciation. So I can have a renunciation, but disinterest is a little bit hard to develop. Say, for example, if I like gulab jamun, it's okay, I can renounce gulab jamun, but I do know the taste of gulab jamun. How does it... So how do I develop that disinterest?
Why do you want to have disinterest gulab jamun? Baba gives you gulab jamun in Madhuban, right? So just have, you know, just remember who is giving you gulab jamun. I think it's more important for you to remember who is giving you gulab jamun. When he is actually, for example, I'll tell you, you know, I was very, very, not very, I was, the first time I came to Madhuban, you know, I was craving for, you know, Pani Puri. I think you must have known Pani Puri, right? It's a particular food. And then I was, you know, like, you know, and I was saying, you know, I really want to have Pani Puri. I really want to have Pani Puri. So I was being obsessed at that time. And guess what? At the same time, the same day, you know, I was invited to a Pani Puri party with Dadis. So for me, it was like such a blessing. It wasn't a blessing, but it was such a assurance that somebody is listening to me, right? So yes, it's not just what's attracting me, but I'm going to Baba and Baba and telling Baba, Baba, you are the one who has to feed me. You know, you have a right over him, in other words. So let him, you know, feed you whatever you like. And then little by little, your interest will be in the one who is feeding you and not what he's feeding you, in other words. And that's a practice, right? You know, it's not only gulab jamun, but anything that you are having. If you have the practice that Baba is the one who is feeding me, for example, little by little you will develop pure taste. You know, it's not about adulterated, you know, like craving for anything. But you will enjoy what you're eating, and yet at the same time there won't be that pull, that attraction. So you have to bring in Baba in everything. So there's no other way to do it. And at conference stage, Baba gives us everything, everything pure. He offers us all the, you know, comforts that we need. We just have to bring him into the picture. That's all.
Thank you so much, Sister Kala, for making this somehow sounding much more easier, because sometimes, you know, making everything worthwhile way can create a little bit stress, but you were able to make it very easy, drop by drop. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm.